I don't know if you heard it during that second reading, but St. Paul seems to think that it is possible to have a tranquil and peaceful life in this world. But he says we have to pray for it. Takes some work, I think. The last couple years, I've been invited a number of times to participate in a religious diversity panel during a university course here on campus. And I got to represent all of Christianity. There was also there was a Muslim, a Jew, a pagan, and an atheist. It was an interesting grouping of people there. And it was interesting to be a part of the conversation, you know, with people who hold sometimes very different worldviews. And I found it very helpful to be solidly grounded in Christianity in order to have a fruitful dialogue with them. In that second reading today also from St. Paul to Timothy, he says that God, our Savior, wills everyone to be saved. Everyone to be saved. And to come to the knowledge, and come to knowledge of the truth. And notice he says, the truth. There's one truth, not many truths that contradict each other. And he's able to say that because of what then he says next. For there is one God. There's also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. So St. Paul is saying there's only one God. No matter how we look at him or call him, we kind of approach him in all kinds of haphazard ways. You know, so many times we get focused on, this is God. No, that's God. No, that's God. And he's so much more, right? He's so much more. And when St. Paul is saying there's one God, and that one approach to the God-man, Jesus Christ. And I'd say this helped me in the classroom, because when I heard something from one of the other panelists that struck me as true, right? From the Jew or the Muslim or the pagan or even from the atheist, it reminded me this point of truth is an area where Christ is known in this other religion. This is an area where Christ is alive and active beyond the visible boundaries of the church. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't tell them, oh, that's where you're being Christian. I didn't say that. But if we truly believe that God is one, and then as Christians, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then wherever we find truth, we're finding a certain relationship with Christ. Growing in the truth of Christ is a must for all of us here. And it helps us to dialogue with others out there. But it's Christ alone. In heaven, I think we'll see how Moses is a disciple of Christ. How Muhammad is a disciple of Christ. And both Moses and Muhammad will tell us how much joyful and complete their lives would have been on earth if they had known the full truth of Christ in this life as well. In the gospel, Jesus gives us some more truth about himself. He reveals a little bit more about himself and how to come into a little deeper communion with him. First, after the story of the dishonest steward, he tells us to make friends for ourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The steward in that story was commended not for crooking the books, which he did, and which is not good, but rather for using the stuff of this world to help others and to make friends. What do we do with the stuff of this world? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, use it to help others, to benefit others. The rabbis had a saying, which I find truthful. The rich help the poor in this world, but the poor help the rich in the world to come. And there are things in which we are all rich and things in which we are all poor. But in the end, our true wealth, as Jesus says, is not about what we kept, but what we gave away. I think that's what Jesus meant in today's gospel when he says, if you're not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? This world is to be used to store up treasure, but not treasure for this world. We have to be seeking true, authentic, genuine treasure, which consists in making friendships that will last into eternity. We can be like the dishonest steward by using whatever worldly stuff we have to help others. And by doing so, we create genuine treasure for ourselves. So what will you and I do? St. Francis of Assisi, just to take one example, died with no earthly belongings to his name. He was one of the greatest financiers of his time. He had an incredible talent for making wealth that actually does last beyond death. He speculated in a different kind of currency, the currency of eternal salvation. What will you and I do? We have, in our parish here, we have Newman Volunteer Corps and the Social Justice Endowment. They both trade in the currency of alleviating poverty. We have the Refugee Sponsorship Team that trades in the currency of welcoming the stranger. We have the choir and musicians and cantors that ennoble our worship. We have CEP and EDGE and Life Team that minister with our youth. We have Bible studies, encounters, retreats, and authentic friendships that trade in the currency of growing our relationship with Christ. Are you trading in any currency that will last beyond this life? What currency could you trade in? Should you trade in? There are enough dishonest stewards in this world who trade only for this worldly gain. We need honest stewards who trade in the true wealth of heavenly gain, leading ourselves and others deeper into the truth of Christ, deeper into relationship with Christ, the one mediator between God and men. Does your world really stretch beyond yourself? Does it stretch beyond this world? Every single one of us needs that heavenly currency. What kind of steward will you be? So the homework for the week is this week, think through your heavenly currency. Do you have any? What is it? Do you have true wealth that you can take with you to heaven?